right, lads. Welcome back to me podcast, Cheaper Than Therapy. Mick Thomas here. How are you? How are you doing? As always, thanks for liking, subscribing and sharing. I appreciate you coming on back and passing on the good word. Check me out wherever you get your podcast from. I don't need to tell you that anymore, I suppose. If not, you wouldn't be listening, right? Also available on YouTube if you're just listening on the treadmill or wherever, driving in the car. If your family are just yelling at you and you just have your headphones on, you're smiling and nodding, wherever you're getting it, I am available on YouTube. I'm wearing a hat that makes my head look like a tit today. So welcome. Welcome to episode 189 of the podcast. Also, check out my other podcast with me good buddy, Corey Brooks, The Manxiety Show. It's a lot of fun. New episode out this week. This week it'll be out. So it's something to listen to with the family around the holidays. Come see me live. I don't know where anymore. My calendar is getting packed up for and getting ready for 2023. I will announce all the dates pretty soon as they come in. This Friday, I think all I have is just two shows at the Comic Strip in New York City, Upper West Side. Is it the West Side? Yeah, 82nd and 2nd. Come see me at the Comic Strip. They're my last two shows of the year. And would love to see you. Love to see you, of course. But how are you? Listen, it is here. Christmas is here. It's the week. Now, I know it's the holidays. It is the holidays, right? People do celebrate other holidays on that one. But my theory on that one is I do say happy holidays sometimes, but I do like to say Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, because that is my holiday. That is me. I'm just wishing you the love and the joy that comes from Christmas, and I'm giving it to you. I'm not saying your holiday don't count, right? I don't care about Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. That's what they'll end up doing, right? Just merging all the holidays together as it becomes more commercial. Kwanzaa-kamis. They'll end up calling it Kwanzaa-kamis. But I am giving the love and the spirit of Christmas onto you, my listeners, my Cheaper Than Therapy people. So, but it's weird, right? You know, I've been all this week coming into Christmas and it kind of snuck up on us. It came around pretty fast. I'm trying to do a lot of shopping, right? I don't go overboard this Christmas. I just thought it was something that was funny that came up. I've been getting, I don't know why, because we all know the story that, hey, I was just talking to my phone and I said mattresses and now all of a sudden I'm getting commercials on my phone for mattresses. I don't know where this one came from, but I'm getting a lot of commercials on my phone for Hims, H-I-M-S. If you don't know what Hims is, it is a erectile dysfunction pill. And I know you're thinking, oh, you're a hack, aren't you, going to do boner pill commercials? I used to hate those comics when they would do them. If a boner lasts for more than 3 hours, I'm calling everybody. You know what I mean? Or you wouldn't be able to close the coffin. Some guy died on it, but they couldn't close the coffin. I just hate all erectile dysfunction jokes on it. But I'll kind of, my opinion on it is that what I notice about this Hims. Now, Hims is not as fancy and as expensive as Viagra, but it's one step above gas station boner pills. You know those ones? Picture of a rhino on them. So, and on the commercial, it's the interesting thing about the commercial, like, we're not allowed, like, men are so hated that you want to sell stuff to us, but you don't even use men to sell it anymore. Like, a rectal dysfunction pill in the commercial should be a man, not a hot woman, a perfect 10 on a fucking bed wearing your favorite sports jersey. Let a man come on the screen. Like me, look at that. Beard, hat on, lumberjack shirt, what I'm wearing right now. Just walk on. Lads, listen, I tried it. Works great. You get a nice boner. You last long. Your dick looks a bit weird in the morning, but it still works fine. Go ahead, get Hims. Right, if my friend came up and he said that to me, man, I tried it. It was fucking great. I was rock hard. I lasted a lot longer than I did. But in the morning, your dick does kind of look like it looks like it's erect, but it didn't sweat. I would go, all right, I'll try it then. Thanks, mate. I'll give that a go. No, you don't need to put a hot girl on the bed. My man uses Hims and he keeps me up all night. Wink. What the fuck? That's not an accurate commercial. Because if you go home and you have that 10 on your bed, can you imagine? Like, can you imagine if you go home and all of a sudden, I'm talking to the lads now, and you have, like, I don't know, pick your favorite person. Could be anybody. We'll say Scarlett Johansson, right? And you walk in and she's on the bed rolling over and she's half dressed as Black Widow or Catwoman or whatever the fuck turns you on. Right? And you see that and then all of a sudden you're like, and you need a pill? Let's be honest, isn't it over at that stage? That's the wrong pill to take. You need to take a handful of other pills and just end it. You know what I mean? That's why is this dog barking? Do you hear him? But yeah, so it's you don't need it, right? You don't need that fucking, it's just the most inaccurate commercial. All right, here's the thing. Here's the perfect commercial for that, right? Have like a, I don't know, a Pennsylvania 2. A Pennsylvania 2 just waddle up to the fucking camera in a moo-moo, right? Just, my man uses Hims because look at me. That's the perfect commercial for that. That's what that commercial should be. So I am sorry about Pennsylvania people, by the way. That's not, I came up with that because I don't need to explain to you why, but I love Pennsylvania. It's great. It's funny. It's a funny word, Pennsylvania. Or Sheboygan, Michigan. If I would have said that way and the joke would have been better, but I just can't pronounce it. I would have fucked it up. But, so I'm out there and I'm shopping and I'm enjoying the Christmas spirit. I'm watching every version of Christmas Carol. My favorite book. It's always been my favorite book. I think it's the best story ever told. And all the versions of the movie have been great. I haven't seen a bad version of it. But you know what I notice as you get older and as you live? I mean, the book was written in what? The 1800s, I think, or was based in the 1800s by Charles Dickens. And what I get as you get older now, Scrooge is not a bad person. He's just grumpy. He's just an old, like, he's annoyed by everybody. And then they, you know, they give him this life-changing event. But here's the thing, what I noticed this week is that Scrooge is like every Long Island person. Now, I know you're going to say, Mick, how could you say that? You live on Long Island. I really kind of am. Now, when I say this, if you're listening and you're from Long Island, you know I'm not talking about you if this goes in your ear and go, he's not talking about me, because I don't do that. So you know who I'm talking about. I got friends on Long Island, family. There's people on this island that I love to see. There's strangers from Long Island that I see that are just polite, just great people. But let's be honest. Long Island is rotten to its core from top to bottom. Isn't it? And fellow Long Island people will understand what I'm talking about. It's just fucking the worst people. Selfish, greedy. And it's everywhere. Douchebags. And it's in the gyms. It's in the supermarkets. It's definitely on the roads when you're driving. It is in the movie theaters, if I said that already. It's everywhere. It's gross. They're gross. And I'm sorry, and again, you don't have to take offense to this if you're not that part, if it's not you, and you know it's not you. But man, like, I'm driving yesterday and they're racing. Where are you going? Where in your shitty life are you going that you gotta be up somebody, like putting other people in danger? Like, where are you going? To get something else, you greedy cunt, that you can't afford? You know, and then they look at you and give you the finger because you won't get out of their way. And it's happened a bunch. It's not just, oh, this is a once-off experience, Mick. No, it's not. No, it ain't. I remember when I moved here and I just thought it was New York, right? From the city to upstate to Albany's, all of those. And I thought, oh, yeah, here's the New York attitude. And I used to tell the story. It was my first interaction with like real Long Island people. So I used to have a Jeep Wrangler years ago, and I remember I went to Target one time, and this was when CDs were still, I remember the CD section of Target, and I fucking was, yeah, man, the Dropkick Murphys album, they just came out at the time, so whatever year that was, give me that fucking CD. And I'm driving along on Sunrise Highway, Sunrise Highway on the service road, and I'm got the top down, I'm pumping this band from Boston, right, and then I pull up to a red light, and right beside me was a car full of Italians. You know, the Yankee logo sticker on the side of their car. They all had their hats on and wife beaters. And the last song on the album, excuse me. The last song on the album, if you've heard it, just starts off with, and the Boston Red Sox are the world champions. That's how the song starts off. And it's about the team. I think it's called Tessie. Well, I don't know if he was a manager. I don't know anything about baseball. And I just, the song was for them. It was for all the people of Boston. For fans worldwide couldn't give a shit about that song. So I'm at the light, and then that comes out of the speaker, and then all of a sudden, this fucking Long Island trash bag just goes, "Yo, asshole, why don't you fucking pull into the PC Richards and we'll kick your fucking ass." Like, I was like, oh yeah, so you want me to pull into a place of your choice just so you can kick my ass? Like, do you want me to grab you a lead pipe? Do you want me to fucking bring some chalk so you can outline my body till the cops get there, you fucking assholes? And I thought that was a once off, but then as time goes on, man, like I'm driving yesterday and I'm in the lane. Now, this happens. We've all fucking ended up in a lane like, oh no, I'm supposed to be over there. I don't mean to be in this lane. What do you do? What do? You either cut the person off, you stay there, let the traffic go, and then you find an opening. Right? You find an opening. Or what do? You politely, hey man, any chance I could, please and thank you. Maybe they will let you in, maybe they won't. We don't know. So this woman pulls up, massive SUV, which when you think of Long Island moms, you think of the fucking big SUV driving full of fucking kids. You know, the mom that tries to be their kid's friend when you're fucking not. You're just their mother. That's all you are. Stop trying to dress like them and do TikToks with them. You're their mother. Be that. You missed your opportunity. Life is better for children now. They have better technology, better fashion. They're just better than you. Stop trying to go back in time. Accept the fucking life that you have. All right? And so she's right next to me. She rolls down the window of her car. I make eye contact. All right, yeah. Roll my window down. She goes, I didn't realize this is the right lane. I'm just going to cut in front of you. Thanks. And rolls the window back up. There's no fucking, like, nothing humble about her. Can I? It was just like, there was none of the face. Like, I just have to. None of it. It was just fucking entitlement. It's they're the worst people. And dare I say, they're the worst when I go to a comedy show on Long Island. I was at a comedy club last night and I headlined. I'm not going to name the club for legal reasons. Do your homework. Sold out, almost sold out show. And had my buddy with me, which I was excited to find out. I didn't know he was booked on it, to open up for me. Be the feature act of the show. Very funny guy, Dennis Rooney. Check him out. And so I go up. I just go up. And I have fun right at the gate. And there's a table up front. A table of about six people. And every joke I said, they had a problem with it. Meaning, that's not, nah. Was it edgy? No. I'm not an edgy comic. I'm not. I dick around on stage. I say things that are, you know, things I think of. They're hypothetical questions in my head that I say out loud to make them think like they're real questions. Like, I don't know if you've seen my act about the dog. I talk about how I got this dog from a kill shelter and they were being very strict about how they gave me the dog. This is not the joke. This is the premise of the dog. The premise of the joke. And I would say, listen, if I want to put peanut butter on my balls and have that dog lick it clean, it's still better than what you had in store for him at the end of the week. Like, it's fucking, you're a kill. Do you know what I mean? Why you? And the thing in my head was like, why are you so picky? And you take it to, that's how comedy works. And you obviously would not put peanut butter on your balls and have the dog lick it off. But in my head, that's how comedy works. Like, what if? And it's always the what if, and it's always exaggerated truth. And we put it here. And then just to prove my point that you're a fucking kill shelter and you're giving me a hard time on giving a dog that, do you know what I'm trying to say? And everything I said was, yeah, I don't agree. And I just had to fucking, and of course, nobody comes up. There's nobody come up to tap him on the shoulder and go, hey, guys, can you just, if you don't mind, thank you so much. None of that. None of that. And there's no, like, when I go up on stage, like, you know, here's the thing. And I've said this from day one. When you go to a comedy club, that's great. You might get the guy that talks about how, isn't traffic tough, and I had airplane food the other day and it was not nice. You might get that guy, right? You might get that guy that goes up and does Monica Lewinsky jokes from the 90s. You might get that guy that does impressions of Tony Soprano, right? James Gandolfini. He's been dead 15 years almost, right? Let's move on. Find a new person. Here's my impression of Bill Clinton. You know what I mean? Those fucking comics that do that. And that's fine, man. That's your art. That is your art. And every art, every painting has a wall that it needs to be hung on. It just might not be that wall. So I don't judge people's art. But if that's what you're expecting at a show, and then I go up and I talk about homosexual children, right? That you're protest if you don't find it funny. If you don't find it funny, here's what you do if a joke isn't funny to you. That's it. That's all you got to do. Your protest of not finding me funny is to not laugh. Not to alert the room. The room who could hear you. Oh, no, I don't agree with that at all. Right? That's not how you protest. And then they fucking started it. And then there was a guy there with a whistle. A whistle. Like he was at a fucking rave. Just like, hey, I'm going to go to a show. I'm going to watch a guy who wrote material down. He's not just up there going off the top of his head. He planned everything he was going to say. Let me go and just, you know what we'll add to this night? Is like if I go, we got a fucking legit whistle. Nah, he wasn't going, he wasn't himself doing that with the thing of where they put their fingers on the top, like those real whistlers. None of that. He brought a whistle, a grown man. And I thought maybe it's a weird disability. I've seen it all, right? I've seen all the weird disabilities. I volunteer to places. So maybe it's a whistle that's how he's communicating. One whistle for yes, two whistles for no. Hey, would you like some more chicken wings? Okay, you don't want chicken wings, that's fine. Maybe it was like every fucking joke, he would blow the whistle. Was there a tap on the shoulder to put that in your fucking face? Get that fucking whistle in your pocket? No tap on the shoulder. Nothing. But then it kept going, man. And again, listen, a lot of the people were lovely. If you're listening to this and you happened to be there last night, thank you. You were great. You came up to me after the show. You shook hands. You took pictures. You were just, hey, man. And a lot of people apologized for the spots of people around the room. This table, that table, the whistles. But the fucking best one, and I'll be posting this joke online. Make sure you check it out on YouTube, on Instagram, on every place, TikTok, Mick Thomas Comedy on all, Facebook. I'll be putting this up. And I did my joke, which I haven't done in a while. I did it on my special. And I'm kind of running out of new material. So once in a while, I do have to go back and pull out an old joke. But these people have never seen me before, so it doesn't matter, right? I'll do it anyway. And the joke was Italian people and how Italians are very arrogant. Long Island people are very arrogant about their cooking. And I'm not going to do the joke. But basically, the joke is, the end of the joke, the last part of the joke is, I talk about how the best Italian food in the country is Olive Garden. Now, again, it's a fucking joke. I cook better than the Olive Garden. I just happen to like the Olive Garden, right? I just happen to like the Olive Garden. And then the boo started, which is part of the joke. It's fine. I like it. I like that part. That's allowed. Ooh, everyone does it because it is an insult to anybody, not just Italians, to think that if I say the best Mexican food in America right now is Taco Bell, everybody, you don't have to be Hispanic, you would yell, and rightly so. It's fun. I'm riling you up, right? And then one in the middle of your booing, how I break the crowd is I'll give away the punchline. I go, if dick tasted like Olive Garden, I would have sore knees. And that turns from the boos to the laughter. And then I go, hey, I lived in Italy. Not one place gave me unlimited breadsticks. And it goes back, and we're back to laughter again. We're like, oh, you're funny. So as I'm doing the bit, one guy is screaming at the top of his voice, go back to Ireland. Go back to Ireland. And he's interrupting the bit. And again, I'm going to post it this week. I don't care. Go back to Ireland. And I go, fuck me, man. I go, what are you saying? He goes, go back to fucking Ireland on a fucking potato. I go, all right, so where are you from? He goes, where the fuck do you think I'm from? I go, I don't know, Cunt Island or Fuck Off Island or something like that. And then he goes, go back to Ireland. He goes, something about fucking a potato again. It's just dumb fucking typical dumb, I didn't think of anything, I'm from Long Island fucking comment. That's the best insult you have when you talk to someone who is fucking intellectually brighter than you and he's from another country. So your go-to is go back where you came from because you can't think of a fucking smart response. And then I go, have you ever been, are you Italian? Yeah, what do you think? And I go, all right, have you ever been to Italy? He goes, hundreds of times. Which means, no, you haven't. Like that typical fucking Italian, I'm proud to be Italian. And it's good to be proud of your heritage. But don't fucking fly your flag, mate. Unless you've actually, don't be all in. Don't be all in with the, like, I'm not all in with Irish, man. I look at some of the Irish traits from when I was growing up and I go, like, that's not fucking good. That's not a good thing to be proud of. Some of the things, I love Ireland, I'm proud to be Irish, but I'm not all in with it. Some of the stuff, like the drinking is out of hand, right? They're not being able to openly talk about your fucking mental disorders. That's out of hand, right? So I'm not all in with the fucking Irish stereotypes, but I go to this guy, I go, man, you've been to Italy, yeah, hundreds of times, which means never, you've never fucking been to Italy, right? And all I said then was, I said, you've never been to Italy, dude, shut the fuck up. You watch season 4 of The Sopranos and you went, I'm all in. And then the guy goes, what time are you leaving this place at? And I turned into, oh, and I was like, dude, shut the fuck up, go watch Goodfellas. He's like, oh, you want to go outside? And while all this is going on, there's no tap on the shoulder. Nothing. I'm like, fuck, fucking typical fucking Long Island, man. It's, and I know I live here, right? And I might not for much longer. It's on the cards, maybe, right? But, and again, to those out there listening from Long Island, you know I'm not talking about you. You know those people came up to me after the show. You know those people who went out for a good time who laughed at the jokes, who didn't laugh at the jokes, but quietly protested. It's just fucking poison. From just the way you drive. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from. So when I watch Scrooge now, Christmas Carol, my favorite book, my favorite, one of my favorite movies, all the different versions of it. Like the Muppets Christmas Carol is great. When I watch fucking, you know, the Disney one is great. Tom Hardy is a dark version of it. Whenever I watch it, I just see Scrooge as just a Long Island guy who's never fucking happy. And you know what it is? Here's what's going to happen. If you had a Long Island person go through the whole fucking things that Scrooge went through, the fucking, you had his best friend Jacob Marley doorknob on the fucking on the door, you walk up, you had a Ghost of Christmas Past, show him where he fucked up in his past, show him how he's fucking up right now with the Ghost of Christmas Present, and then the guy in the future go, man, if you don't fucking cut this out, if you don't stop being loud at comedy shows and being the loudest person and trying to buy the biggest fucking TV and stop treating people like pieces of shit. Stop being greedy, consuming everywhere you go. Stop cutting people off in line at fucking Target. Stop taking a misunderstanding and turn it into a big fucking fight, right? The Ghost of Christmas Future is going to show you, there you go, you're fucking, that's your grave. You know what's going to happen? He's going to open the door. He's like, yo, kid, what day is it? It's fucking Christmas Day. All right, dude, I need to go get me a bigger TV. You're not going to learn shit. They're not going to learn shit. That's the difference between Scrooge and fucking Long Island people. The ghosts will be just wasting time. They'll all three of them will get back. I fucking tried. I don't know what. You can't break them. They're just fucking rude. They're just rude. But anyway, listen. Whatever you're doing with your family this holidays, just kindness. That's it. Remember, and this is going to sound preachy and whatever. Like, remember, if you have a Christmas tree up in your house, and if you went out and you bought the presents and you're willing to go in a little bit on the Christmas, right? You're willing to go in on what it's about. Just remember, it is about the birth of baby Jesus, right? Which is a time of love and compassion, right? And I know this whole rant has been about fucking how I have no fucking love and compassion for Long Island people, but I do. I have for the ones that I like. So just listen, spend the holidays with your family and just don't worry about your gifts. Don't worry about the big fucking TVs. They're too big on Long Island anyway. Just go and love your family. Enjoy them. If not, then just find your dog, your cat. Stay, do Christmas alone. Whatever you want to do. But just make it a day of love and appreciation. That's what it is. Because it's came here for a reason, right? It came here from the birth of Jesus. And if you don't believe in that, then, you know, take your tree down. Take your tree down. Don't buy the gifts. You don't have to do any of that shit. You don't have to do any of that shit at all. That's all I'm saying. But whatever you do, I just hope you do have a happy holiday with your family. And to all the people who listen to the Cheaper Than Therapy show, and you've always supported me from day one, and the numbers are growing and people keep listening. So if you've been listening from the start, I wish you a happy holiday with your family. A Merry Christmas from me to you. And then all the other holidays, I hope you have a great one. And if you're new to the channel, if you're new to the podcast, to my stand-up, to whatever it is, Merry Christmas to you too. And I really hope I really hope it's a good one for you this year, and I hope you and your families are safe and you get to experience a little bit of love and a little bit of joy this holiday season. So listen, as always, wash your hands, you dirty fuckers. Good luck to you and Merry Christmas.